Welcome to the Songwalk Echoes podcast. I'm Jeff Peterson, inviting you to join Soundwalk Echoes founder Don Prisby and me as we recall the beauty of our Catholic legacy through music, art, scripture, and story. Let's take a song walk.
Though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not deem equality with God as one might be inclined. Instead, he emptied himself as a servant would, being born in the likeness of man. We are heirs to this gift, and so we live in Jesus. He was known to be of human estate, Emmanuel, and it was thus that he emptied himself and accepted his death obediently. Death, death on a cross. We are heirs to this gift, and so we live in Jesus. We live in the holy name of Jesus. We are one, one in the Lord, in charity and faith and humble estate. We are chosen, we are gifted in the name of God, so that at Jesus' name every knee must bend. In the heavens, the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are heirs to this gift, and so we live in Jesus. We live in the holy name of Jesus. We are one, one in the Lord, in charity and faith and humble estate. We are chosen, we are gifted in the name of God. We live in the holy name of Jesus. We are one, one in the Lord, in charity and faith and humble estate. We are chosen, we are gifted in the name of God. We are chosen, we are gifted in the name of God. We are chosen, we are gifted in the name of God. Though Jesus was in the form of God.
All right, that is Songwalk founder, author, songwriter, and master on the mic. Man, a great voice this morning here. Don Prisby with a piece called At His Holy Name, an original work composed and performed right here to help us kick off season four of the Songwalk Echoes podcast. So now I guess the Four Seasons isn't just the name of a fancy hotel, in which we will be here continuing to delve more deeply into six stages of faith that just seem to keep showing up here and the beautiful tradition of our Catholic faith in various ways. This has been a divinely inspired Don interpreted exercise here we embarked upon way back in season 2 of the Songwalk Echoes podcast. And these 6 stages will continue to provide a roadmap, if you will, as we journey through season 4 together, observing how these 6 dynamics show up in the Lord's Prayer. Oh, I just cannot wait. And if you're new to the podcast, welcome. Nice to have you here. And if you're not, just a little reminder for returning listeners, all of these Songwalk episodes, just like everything in the Songwalk Echoes platform, are presented through the 4 dimensions of music, art, story, and scripture. If you can picture those words there in the acronym, clever acronym that creates there. And while we don't have to follow that order when we throughout these episodes, when we kick off with a song like that, it's hard to not talk about the music first. So we're going to do that. And again, John, I mean, great range, vocal range, my word. And this has happened several times throughout this, throughout the show through the last 3 seasons now, and now embarking on our 4th. Some of these songs, Don, I can hear the band. You know, I can hear like the coming in, and that was almost, especially towards the end there, almost anthemic, you know. And so what a great way to kick off season 4. And I just love coming back to the name of Jesus. It's just so appropriate. But tell us a little bit, first of all, welcome back.
Thank you.
And then, but tell us a little bit about how that song is really going to serve as sort of our soundtrack here for season 4 and the 6 faith dynamics in the Lord's Prayer.
Yes. Well, first of all, hello, Jeff. It's good to see you again. And can you believe it? Here we are in season 4.
I know.
Yeah. That is from Philippians, and it's called the Canticle, or the Philippians Canticle. And it's one of those that circles through the office frequently. So when we pray that, we see it often, and it always touches my heart. But it's such a wonderful statement of Jesus's incarnation, that he, though he was in the form of God, you know, he humbled himself to be one of us. And it's so powerful every time I pray that. And I knew that one day I needed to put it to music, and hopefully did that justice. But it's really a great setup today, because this season we're going to be talking about the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. And for us to get any sense of what fatherhood means to us, that we would call God Almighty our Father, we must look at that through Jesus. Yeah. We must look at it through the fact that God became man and called the Almighty Father and invites us to do the same.
Yeah.
So this, we open up season 4 with just bringing that reality forth, that Jesus became one of us, called God Almighty, Yahweh, his Father, and invites us to do the same. We'll unpack that throughout the season, but I thought starting with that Philippians canticle is a way, good way to ground us in that.
Yeah, no, that's so true, and that is kind of the now, you know, as we've said several times in this show, you know, God does nothing in vain. There's no accident to God's plan. Like, oh, I guess we'll work with that. But in true to form, you know, there is no Father without the Son. You know, like the language and the relationship doesn't exist without Jesus. And so that is so central, and I think what made that song so appropriate to kick off. I have, you know, a question on the song. I know you wrote that song a while back. Where, you know, so much of the last, you know, these last 2 seasons, we've been talking about these 6 faith dynamics and how they've, you know, appeared in the Mass and the Lord's Prayer. Have you also made connections to the faith dynamics in your music? You know, like when you look back at your 300 plus songs that you've written, or just some of them, you know, also sort of start coming more to the fore with any of these 6, or do you feel like they're all just vehicles to you know, communicate kind of everything all at once, you know?
Fascinating that you would observe that. And I see my music in 2 ways. One is there's a maturation of it over the years.
Yeah.
When I was younger, it was I stayed right to the scriptures, and I was very literal and careful about that. And then over years, as my faith life matured, I started writing about it, you know.
Yeah.
So I was more comfortable and more able and more confident to write about it. The other observation is I don't know why I do this, and it's all from the Lord. And so I just write song after song after song. Yet to look back at it through the lens of obedience or discipleship or following the Lord or through the six stages of vocation, conversion, mission, transformation, providence, and gratitude, I can begin to see them inherently in those.
Yeah.
Though at the time of writing, I was not aware of that.
Yep. So listeners, you know, we've got the next like 12 seasons mapped out, okay? But here's my prediction, or this is maybe going to be my little request. When we get to season whatever, 13, that hasn't totally been, I think it'd be fascinating to actually go through your catalog and actually see these six faith dynamics. And we don't have to go through all 300 songs, but because I do think that would be fascinating to see how maybe some of your music in and of itself then is really illustrative of these six. So we'll put that on the back burner. Well, I'll talk to your agent. We'll see if we can get you negotiated for that. But as I mentioned in the setup, you know, we talk about for those just tuning in for the first time here, we talk about music, art, scripture, and story. We don't have to go in that order. But we typically, after we hear this great song, we do talk about the art. Because for listeners, just as so you know, the thumbnail, we use the thumbnail in each episode is a piece of art that Don has identified to kind of give visual representation and a visual way into whatever we're talking about in that episode. So we usually like to talk about the art, you know, kind of second, because it gives then a nice visual for people to then process the scripture, process the story. It just provides a little kind of whatever, a little, you know, image, if you will. But we're not going to do that today. I'm throwing you a little curveball here, Don. We're actually going to talk about the art last because I want that image to actually be something that we're going to send everybody off with as we embark on season four.
Wonderful.
So sit tight, deep tease on the art coming up here, everybody. But it's also last because I want to get to the story. I want to talk about the story here. So for new listeners who are going to be listening now asynchronously as we're now talking about these six faith dynamics, and you might be thinking, well, what are the six faith dynamics? And if you don't want to go back and listen from the beginning, what I thought would be good is if you could just kind of let's talk about the story. You don't have to go all the way back to the origins, but maybe talk about, you know, these six faith dynamics and how you started seeing them showing up in various aspects of this wonderful Catholic faith, and now leading up here to the Lord's Prayer.
Yes. Well, just in my active faith life from a very young age, and, you know, we talked about writing music as an expression of that and whatnot, I began to see those, that there were six dynamics that at the time they weren't, as I looked at them, they were kind of linear, but they were also cyclical. So I might get to one and it might bring me back to the beginning. And again, that was happening later on in studying spiritual direction. I saw that's normally what happens, that God will bring us from a purgative stage to an illuminative stage and then back to the purgative stage and then through it and then back again. Just like the Paschal Mystery invites us to life, death, resurrection, and then death again. And life and resurrection and death again. So those are the dynamics in my life. And I began to see these six dynamics, that vocation, that I was called, and not necessarily vocation like called to a marriage or called to priesthood, but just called to something, called vocation. And that vocation required my response, which was conversion. It required me to discern and to deliberate, and to respond very, very genuinely and intently. So vocation, conversion. And then the next element seemed logical. Well, we wouldn't be called if we weren't sent for something.
Right.
So mission was next. Called to do what, Lord? Where am I going? And then why am I being sent? And that was transformation. You are called to transform the world. Oh, I love that. And to transform yourself, Don. I don't like that. But I accept it.
Yeah.
It's transformation. And then I noticed there were times in my life where I just completely out of gas or confidence or resources, and providence would occur. I would meet a friend. I would see a scripture passage. I would be inspired during the liturgy. Providence, the Lord's providence or the community's providence would be given to me to continue. And then the last stage could have been arrogance, which I'm really good at, or gratitude.
Yeah.
And we're called to gratitude. So I saw those dynamics, and I just kept seeing them and reflecting on them in my life. And then years into that, I was at Mass one day, and I saw them in the Mass. I saw them in the Mass in that same order. Now, that's very peculiar. Mm. Did they validate that? Maybe, but I thought that's fascinating that my faith experience would be expressed in the faith experience of the Mass. Okay, and then years later, I was praying the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, and there they were again in that same order. Mm-hmm. And that's very exciting, because when you triangulate something like that, then you can say there's a good reason for the stability of that idea. Mm-hmm. And then you and I, in season two, we decided, let's take those six stages and look at them in the secular world. Mm-hmm. And we also found them in that. Now, in my reading, I've come to understand that those stages, you know, from a cultural, anthropological perspective, are there. That's just part of a normal ebb and flow of life. So how do I answer that I saw those? Maybe just because I was aware. Mm-hmm. And but they're also part of our faith life in the church, and they are in part of our faith life in our liturgy, how we express worship to God, and also in our prayer life as mm-hmm. we adore and ask for things from the Lord. Those six stages are in there too. I'm careful to say we observe them there, not that they were placed there by the church, but they're observable there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's both Catholic and it's both neutral.
Yeah.
But I think it's universal enough for us to appreciate them.
Yeah, and I think for this season, what I'm so excited by, like visually, if I picture like an inverted triangle, okay, which starts big at the top, base's top, and then it gets more and more narrow. I feel like we've been, over these last couple of seasons, and now spending this one on the Lord's Prayer, I feel like we're getting more and more personal, you know? So like you said, season two, how these dynamics show up in the secular world as we're going about our lives, you know, going to baseball games or, you know, reading poetry, exactly, going to movies or whatever. And then we go talk about the Mass, you know, the communal experience. But now we're talking about prayer, and very specifically the Lord's Prayer. And it's in it, and you know, obviously there's been so many reflections by, you know, popes and writers and you know, about the Lord's Prayer, how it's constructed, how we pray it. Do you feel like, you know, as you've been, you know, processing these faith dynamics too, do you feel like it's been getting more and more personal, you know, for you as well?
Yes. Yes, we did start in a very universal, our first topic was on conscience.
Yeah.
And that we're imbued with a conscience. That's universal as can be, that God created us with that, created everyone with that. And then we have been getting more and more specific to conforming our lives to Jesus, mm-hmm. making space for grace and the Holy Spirit, looking to Mary in her magnanimous life, having the tools of Thomas Aquinas, of prudence and the cardinal virtues, and then the stages of life, again, back to the universal, yeah. back to secular life, then how we express them in prayer in the community, and now in our prayer. Yet something that I've learned in this season is that the Lord's Prayer is not, he's not my Father. It's not called the My Father. It's called the Our Father. Mm-hmm. So Jeff, as personal as it's going to be for us as we discuss this today and this season, it's also communal.
Yeah.
Because when we pray the Our Father, we pray for ourselves and everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, amen, amen. Yeah, I can't wait. Truly, part of me wants to get through this intro episode here, Don, so we can just dive right in. But I think it's a gift to be able to set a little bit of this context. So, and speaking of that, where do we go for the best context, if not Scripture? The Scripture that you have selected for this kickoff episode for season four is illustrative of yet it's another example of why you, Don, are in that chair, making all these great connections, spiritual, intellectual, and helping everybody here seriously grow in our faith through this podcast and everything that you do on the Song Walk Echoes platform, by the way, songwalkechoes.com, everybody. The Scripture that you've chosen is a testament to why you're in that chair and I'm in this one, just pressing buttons and making sure things sound okay. Because I would have thought, okay, here we are, season four, it's all about the Lord's Prayer. I thought you would have chosen for our Scripture passage to kick off this season would have been the one in the Bible from Matthew that basically where Jesus just says the Lord's Prayer. He's like, hey, somebody says, hey, teach us how to pray. And Jesus says, okay, do this. But no, instead we have this beautiful passage that you've chosen from Philippians chapter 2, 6 or 11, also familiar here, which reads as this, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, and you just want to say amen at the end of that. So
yeah.
What a great passage. And so tell us now, because again, so much smarter than I am over here, how is that an even more inspiring, illustrative Scripture passage for us to really set the tone for this season?
Yes. Well, being the Scripture that inspired the song that we opened with, it's almost necessary that we embrace the epic of Christ, that he was made one of us and exalted by the Father, as we're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Because as we said, before we can pray to the Father, we need to do it through Jesus. And yet, we're going to experience in this season what it means to position ourselves appropriately to that Father, the Father who loves us unconditionally, but still he is the Father who is in heaven. You know, we can't presume collegiality with him, just like we need to bring a certain level of reverence to the Mass, right? Mm-hmm. We need, as we said in the penitential rite, we need to position ourselves appropriately with one another and with the Father. Yeah. So this Scripture passage, a commentary by Pope Benedict XVI at one of his audiences, really described that there's a sense of positioning of Jesus to the higher level. There's a descent and an ascent in it. Yeah. And the ways that we see that in Jesus is, you know, Jesus was born in a manger, a very humble manger, yet he guided the kings to come to him.
Yeah.
Jesus died on the cross in a very public, banal, horrible way, but he was resurrected. So that descent, ascent. Yeah. That through Jesus being obedient as the Son, as we saw that, he was known to be of human estate, but God exalted him.
Yeah.
So that descent, ascent. And also in our liturgical life, that we have salvation is fulfilled through the Son, and we celebrate that in adoration through the liturgies. So that movement that's in that scripture and in that song of descent and ascent is also perfect context for us mm-hmm. as we dare to say our Father. Mm-hmm. So let's enter that as not just, these aren't just words that Jesus gave us. This is an ethic for yeah. us to live.
Yeah.
And that ethic requires a certain positioning and intentionality from us.
Yeah.
And how do we descend to our knees, perhaps, or in our spirit, to ascend to this fact that God Almighty, the creator of the universe, is our Father.
Yeah. Oh, amen. Yeah, and I think that is so important to say out loud at the outset of this of the season, because I do think, and I'll own this, I do think, especially when we say these more kind of rote prayers of our tradition, which are wonderful, you know, whether it's the Our Father or the Glory Be or the Hail Mary, I think sometimes for me I can get a little too focused on the and I use this word reverently, you know, but like the performance of the prayer, you know, am I saying the right words? Am I holding somebody's hand while I'm saying it? I mean, it all comes from a good place. It's kind of like the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, you're very reverent and
right.
you're thinking about, you know, our country or whatever. And then a similar way, you know, you say these prayers and okay, I'm just, these are good words, but really what you're saying and what that scripture passage is really illustrating is that no, the Lord's Prayer is not just a string of words put together. It's not just good composition. It's actually the fulfillment. It's actually it, like capital I.
You yeah. know,
and so when we are blessed to be able to say it, we are not just getting all the words right and in the right sequence. We're actually like affirming and living we're living the good news.
Sure. Know? And this might be the first time for many of us, including me, to really intentionally go through that prayer
yeah.
and separate the words and separate the phrases and really reflect on those.
Yeah.
And it's very powerful.
Yeah.
Yet let's look at the context with which we say the Lord's Prayer. Normally it's in the rosary and we blast through it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or at the yeah. mass, you yeah. know, we kind of, it. Yeah. But the more and more familiar we are with something, the more we take it for granted and we don't pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say even as a musician, the rhythm of the Lord's Prayer doesn't do it justice because
yeah.
it connects in phrases major concepts that should be separated.
Right, yeah.
And it took me so long to separate that for myself, not to pray it rhythmically,
yeah.
but by concept, it would be an entirely different prayer.
That's a great point.
So I agree with you, Jeff, that the more familiar we are with these prayers, the less we think about them. And this will give us an opportunity yeah, to do that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great, so great. All right, well, ending as promised, we're going to end here with ART. So our little acronym is very messed up today. So we went from like MSA is how we're doing it instead of the mass. So anyway, the ART that you've chosen here, I also love, and again, I encourage everybody to go to the little episode thumbnail so you can look at this. Because it's unattributed here in terms of like a lot of times in mm-hmm. the art, we have a painter or a sculptor that we can say, oh, it was, you know, Clark Griswold in 19 whatever. And this one, but it's very familiar. It's the Christmas star.
Okay? Right,
it's right. It's that image we associate a lot with Christmas and that night, you know, when you're looking up in the wise men or whatever. But tell us about how this is such a great visual, you know, sort of almost like a little beacon, a little star for us as we now venture into season
yes.
four.
Well, the image that we now see commonly of the Star of Bethlehem started appearing in the Middle Ages with artists. And if you look at it carefully, it's a cross.
Yeah. yeah.
It's a cross. Yet it looks like, you know, the prisms of light coming off of one central figure. Yet it's a cross. And what's profound about that is that it says that at the birth of Christ, his death is foreshadowed. So again, at his birth, a new birth is foreshadowed. Again, think about Benedict XVI. At the descent to becoming a baby like us, his ascent of being glorified by God is already in action.
Mm-hmm.
So that seemed to me to be, again, consistent with our discussion of Jesus being incarnated as one of us, and in so doing, now we are able to call God the Almighty our Father. But in the very act of his becoming one of us, his exaltation as our Savior is already stated.
Mm, yeah.
It's a beautiful image.
Oh, so beautiful. Nothing by accident here, folks. All right. Well, Don, as we do in every episode, every season, no reason to stop now. We close every big show here with what we call our Song Walk Echo Point. So what's the thing that you're going to kind of leave us with today that's really sort of it's a little bit of a starting gun now as we head into season four?
Well, let's get ready to pray the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Let's get ready to pray the Lord's Prayer. And part of that readiness might be, let's do that with humility, and let's approach the next opportunity to pray that prayer very slowly and intentionally with great humility, knowing that the reason we can do that is that Jesus humbled himself to become one of us. So let's just embrace Jesus's humility in that prayer of adoration and prayer of supplication to God, who is our Father.
Mm-hmm. Indeed and amen. All right. Well, thank you, Don, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in here, and stay tuned for our next episode of the Song Walk Echoes podcast. And in the meantime, keep a song walk in your own heart for the beauty and the brilliance of our Catholic faith.
You've been listening to the Song Walk Echoes podcast. For small group resources related to this podcast and more, visit songwalkechoes.com.